a well-earned break time together. So we're really praying, aren't we, for God's blessing to be on them and a time of refreshing. They're not going very far, and they'll be back very soon. But we also have two other people ministering this morning from our body. Well, I say Pastor Paul isn't out, as far as I know, teaching anywhere. But Jerry's out at the detention centre, preaching at the detention centre. And Jeff is also out at Tinsley House. Is it the same place or another? Oh, a new place, okay. So they're out ministering. So we thank you, Lord, for blessing them and pouring out your spirit on that meeting, on those meetings, Lord, and touch those people as they come to hear the word of the Lord, and encourage them and speak to them and touch their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, I'm going to share a few scriptures with you, something that God has put on my heart to share. So I actually asked Paul if I could share something, and so I've got some stuff here which I've got to do be fairly tidy on presenting. I'm going to be talking, the title of my talk is Sunk in the Foundations. I actually thought about putting as the title Sunk or Sunk in the Foundations, because they kind of have, you know, when you sink, it means you go down. You go down, and the truth of the matter is that unless you're sunk in the foundations that God has provided, you're sunk. That means, you know, you're shipwrecked in your life, because without God, we're all lost, aren't we? There's no hope for us. So I'm thinking about the foundations, and we're thinking about God the Builder, aren't we? So this is another one in the series of God the Builder. And today you've got Bob the Builder. Well, you've got Bob. I couldn't wait for that one. Got Bob the Builder today. Okay. and I'm shuffling my notes. I've already lost my... There it is. Right. Now think about foundations in a building. Without foundations, what would happen to a building without foundations? What would happen to a building if you didn't have foundations? Can anyone tell me? Can you tell me? What would happen? No, Vera. What would happen to foundations if to a building if you didn't have foundations? You know what would happen if you just sort of built a building without foundations? It would fall down. Brilliant. That's just what I wanted to hear. It will fall down. If you don't have a foundation, a good foundation. In fact, there are all sorts of building regulations that require you to put certain depth of foundations if you're building onto your house or build a new house. They have to be a certain depth. Otherwise, it's illegal, and you might actually end up with having to knock down the building yourself and start again. So every building has to have a foundation. And I want us to think about the fact that we are a building, because we've been hearing about us being built as a dwelling place for God. So in Hebrews 3... I've got one or two scriptures to share, some of which I will skate over, some of which I will dwell on a bit longer. In Hebrews 3, verse 6, be more accurately, Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now, we are whose house we are if we hold the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So I'm thinking about the fact that we are his house. So we're talking about a structure being built on a foundation. And God is saying that we are a house, and that we are being encouraged to, we are being thinking about how God is building, or how we are building. We are here to build. God has been saying, that's been a word to us as a people. We are here to build. And to build, we have to have foundations. For as high as you go up, almost you have to, you also have to have a foundation going down to match that. So if you go up to one story, if you're building a small building, your foundations don't need to go deep. But if you're building a big structure, if you have a big vision, your foundations need to go accordingly deep. Now, I'd like us to look at Matthew. We're going to look at we're going to look at Luke. Let me get that right. We're going to look at Luke's gospel. I think it's in Matthew as well. But Luke's gospel, chapter 6, verses 48 and 49. And we're thinking about a man building a house. And we're thinking about foundations. And verse 48, I've got the New King James Version here. He is like a man, think about a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So there's the man who built his house on the rock. You've heard the parable before. Builds his house on the rock, and he dug deep, it says, in this version. So there is some, the foundations are going in. And when the flood arose and the stream, I don't know why it says stream here, but it says storm. I thought it said storm in the, but I seem to have got it as stream. Beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, right? So there's a house built on this rock and it can't be shaken. It stood firm. Remember the old song? I don't know whether you learnt the song. Some of you would have known the song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay, so he built his house on the rock. So it's on the rock and storms come. But then there's another man, verse 49, who heard and did nothing. He heard the same message as the wise man, who built his house on the rock. They heard the same message. They were both members of the local assembly, maybe, you know, to simplify it. They both went to church. They both signed up carded members of the local church. They called themselves Christians. But it says this man, he heard the message. He listened to the message, maybe even took notes from the sermon. But when he went away, he did nothing. Who hears and does nothing with the message? Now, I'm not trying to say you do nothing with the message, but I'm saying, what are you saying to me, Lord? We can all be like that. We can all hear the word and then forget what we heard. So the next day or next week, it's as if we never went last week. It's true, isn't it? That is true, because I've done it. Okay, put your hand up if you've done it, because I've done it. You hear the word, and at the time you thought, yeah, it was a good word, but when you thought about it later in the week, you couldn't remember one word of it. Okay, or maybe you looked at your notes and you thought, or maybe you look at your notes 6 years later. Sometimes I come upon some notes and I think, what was that all about? I don't know that I did anything that's written there. And it says, just share the Message Bible, what the Message Bible says. Here's the Message Bible version of this. If you work the words into your life, right, this is what we're thinking about. If you work the words you're hearing into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundations of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and sermon notes, I did that, and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundations. When the swollen river came in, crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. So what God is saying to us, he wants us to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, so that we have something that's built to last. If it's not got foundations, it won't last. It won't last the next storm. My walk as a Christian won't last the next storm. And we've all been in situations where storms have hit us, and because we have not been operating as we should, we've not been in the right place with God, we're not flat. And that's all part of God's dealings, is because God allows that to happen so that we come back into correct focus, so we come back to him and say, well, there's still time. And just being busy in the church isn't enough, is it? Because the scripture goes on after that one in Luke. I haven't got time to look at it, but he says, talks about Lord, Lord, those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many mighty works in your name? Didn't we heal the sick and cast out demons? And Jesus said, in that day, I will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Talk about scary words. Talk about also, you know, they are scary words, because I want to make sure that I'm right, that I'm on the right track, that I'm in the right place with God, in God's dealings, to allow him as the master builder to deal with my life at foundation level. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do for us today. He wants us to do some reality checking, allow the plumb line to be set alongside what's been built into our life, And if necessary, some things will have to come down, if necessary. Right, next scripture. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 3. Now, this was a scripture I received from the Lord. So this is kind of the key scripture in terms of God speaking to me about this. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 13. So it says we are God's fellow workers. I don't know whether you think of yourself as a fellow worker with God. Do you think of yourself as that? A fellow worker. He's a colleague of yours. That's an interesting thought, which is actually a digression. Sorry. I think my wife's telling me not to digress. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, it's interesting. It's not just God laying a foundation. I have laid a foundation. This is Paul talking, a man of God, an apostle, the founder of the church, in a sense. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one, I've underlined this, let each one take heed how he builds on it. So each one of us, we're co-builders. We're building with God. It's not just God doing the building. Oh, I'm waiting for God to do something. Right? We have to be proactive. That's what we were hearing last week, I think, being proactive. So we rise up and get moving with what God has commissioned us to do. So each one of us, let's take heed, pay attention, wake up. We were praying, by the way, wake up on the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. We had a strong word from the Lord about waking the church up. So we prayed, God, wake up, church. So that's another one, another thing. But we do need to be awake to be able to hear. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Now, the great news is there is already a foundation laid for us. Which is? Who is? What is the foundation? Who is the foundation? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Christ, Jesus the Christ. He is the foundation. We don't need to have any other foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, now God is saying build on this foundation. We're building on this foundation. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. So God is going to test our work. He's going to test our walk. He's going to test our lives to see what we have done. Whether we have cooperated with him, whether we have fitted in his plan and purpose for our lives. And according to that, we either build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, or straw. And it says the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. So anything that's like wood or straw will be burned up when the fire comes. There'll be nothing of it left. And that's like your life's work. Think about your life's work, how you spent your life, what you did in your life, your life history. If it's all wood, hay, and stubble, and quite honestly, for many people, you know, we all know what the things in our lives that are wood, hay, and stubble. There is stuff, clutter that's not from God that we carry and cart around with us, and all this stuff is not God's will for our lives, but we bring it with us. And if we focus on these things, then all we're actually building in our lives is wood, hay, and stubble, which has no future. And it's not what we desire, really, when we think about it. And it says, because it will be revealed by fire, the fire will test everyone's work of what sort it is. So we need to say, well, Lord, I want to have that. I want to know now. I don't want to wait sometimes to see whether I'm hit the mark or not. What are you saying to me now? Because I want to be on track with what you're saying to my speaking into my life. Now, one of the things in this scripture here, he's talking about the foundation, and he's talking about he is building, and Christ is the foundation, and that you're saying, well, I can't lay the foundation. Well, in a building, when you build on the foundation, the building is all one. The foundation and the structure that goes above that, it's all the same building. It's indistinguishable. a building like a temple is indistinguishable from its foundation. And God wants us to have the heart that Paul had, that we are prepared to lay down our lives to go into the foundation of the work that he's doing. And we think, God wants us to sink ourselves in the foundation of the work he has put us in. I say, what does that mean? To be sunk into the foundations. We say, well, people sunk into... I believe the apostles, if you look at Revelation, you can just listen if you like. In Revelation 21, 18 to 20, in verse 19, it says, the foundation, it talks about the New Jerusalem, a city of pure gold, like clear glass. It says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones, and it lists these stones. And then in Revelation 21, 13, just a bit before that, 14, it says, the wall of the city had 12 foundations. So the wall, with the precious stones in it, had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there are names of the apostles, and Paul's name is on one of those foundation stones. Because he was one of the founders of the church. You know, he was a founder, and he had an apostolic calling to kind of lay down that base of understanding and truth, which is of course incorporated in his teaching in the Word in the New Testament. So, we're looking at building. I believe God wants us to build to last. We think about the build to last. He wants us to build something that will last the fire, that will go through fire, and will be proved and will stand and not be moved. So that when storm comes and the shaking comes, I am built, you are built, we are built as a church on the rock. And we will not be moved when storms come, when there's a shaking. Because it says in Hebrews that there is a, once more, in Hebrews 12, it says, talks about a shaking of the earth and the heavens once more, a removing of that which can be shaken. You know, sometimes we have a shaking in our lives through circumstances, situations, things that happen where we live, people we are related to, family. There are shakings that happen. It's at that point that we have to have our feet on the solid ground of God's word. We have to have our feet in a place with God that we will not be moved by these things. It says there's a removing of what can be shaken. God wants to remove what can be shaken in your life. So if that's going to be removed, it's got to be a shaking for it to happen. So God is allowing a shaking to take place. The removing of what can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Now, you have a something that cannot be shaken in your life. Something that cannot be shaken, whatever happens. And we've got some stuff coming over the horizon in our nation. We've already got it, haven't we? In our nation and in the world. A shaking. And there's something in your life as you build into this foundation that already is there, that is Christ Jesus. It means that you can stand and not be moved. That's good news. It says, Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Cannot be moved of its nature. You know, you have that character within you because that's Jesus. And we're called to be like him. We're called to be like him. That's his standard for the church. If you say you're a follower of Christ and you believe in and trust in him, then you should live the way he lived. And he said, well, that's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible. But he did it. He demonstrated how to do it. And he gave us all the keys and to actually successfully live a victorious, overcoming life in his the power of his spirit. We can do it. We can live that way. Praise God. Okay, so thinking about the foundations and the apostolic foundations. And Isaiah 54, you don't need to turn to this. I'll just read from Isaiah. Think about now God is doing something among us. And God is saying, I will lay your stones. I mean, God is going to lay the stones, but we're working with him. So we're co-builders. We're building with him. I will lay, says the Lord, your stones. Your stones I will lay. He's already doing it, isn't he? Your stone has already been laid. And some of us may be longer than others, but your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. Now we're going to build, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to build something that will last, that can be seen in eternity. I want to have a crown that I can cast before him. It talks about casting your crowns. I want to have a crown that I can cast before him. So, but I have to come to that place where I can rule with him and reign with him as we are called to here on earth and live it out here and demonstrate it here in the circumstances of our lives. And as a people, he puts together. He's putting us together, shaping us together as a body. Now, what's he doing? The foundation isn't just my life. It's not just my life, which I'm building into, and I've got to build in my personal, that's prayer. That's seeking God's face. That's letting God be everything in my life. So I'm kind of focusing on the Lord, hearing what he's saying to me, so giving him enough time. That's digging down the foundations, prayer, me seeking God, me praying. And it can be the kind of praying we heard the lady share about, which is just the natter praying. That's part of it. Or then deep crying, crying out to God, things in my life, things in my family that I need to intercede for and cry out to God for, so that he can come in and start to be a foundation work in my life. And I'm then become indistinguishable from the foundation I'm being built into. So we are one with him, so that he is, his life, his spirit is birthed in us, so that it's so powerful that we then go into situations and it's not what comes out, because I've died and my life is hid with Christ in God, and it's no longer I that live but Christ that lives in me. Then what comes out is him. What comes out is his word to the person we're speaking to. Not my idea, oh, I did this. And no, it's not my idea, because God's dealings have been so deep in my life that when I'm speaking, it's just him speaking through me. Praise God. Okay, so let's have a look at, I could read some more about from Isaiah, but I need to move on. We'll look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 19 and 21. 19 to 21. This is talking about us. God is building a home. I've got the Message Bible here again. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. If you haven't got the Message Bible, you can just listen to it because it's great. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. I hope if you're in this church, you don't feel like an outsider. Because if you do feel like an outsider, it's probably a lie. And you need to deal with it. I would send it back where it came from. God is building a home. God is building a home. Here, you know, this is not the church. It's not the building here, is it? God is building a home. That's us. Why? Because he wants to come in and dwell here. He wants to come and live among us. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. So all of us are living stones. We're all essential. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's using you? He's using you. That means he's using you to build. He wants you to build. Not wait for him to do it. Not wait for Pastor Paul to do it. You are a builder. And Bob is a builder. Okay? He used the prophets and apostles for the foundation. And now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. He's the one that holds us all together. And that's why we all need to focus on him. We all need to connect with the head so that we know how we're fitted. We allow the Holy Spirit to fit us together in this building. We see it, and I believe we do. We see it taking shape day after day. We sing the body of Christ. If you look with any kind of discernment on what's happened here, look back 6 months from where we were, or a year from where we've come. God has done something. We see it taking shape. Isn't that right? We can see God is doing a work among us for eternity that will cause something powerful to be released in the town we're living in. God has called us to be, it says, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it. Now, if you feel that you're not part of this, all right, it could be that you wanted somewhere else. I don't rule that out. But unless you know that, you're here. In which case, all of us are built into it. Now, we are going to be built into it. That's why I said built into the foundations, because all of us are building our lives. And as a body and as a corporate group of people, we are building into the foundation. Yeah? Is that how you see it? Are you coming here just because we're going to church or because Christians go to church? Or are we building into the foundations? Of a foundation. The foundations would be the love of God would be a foundation, wouldn't it? All the truth that we hear about the love of God. Did you want to say something? Michelle asked, sorry, you said, give us an example of what a foundation is. Well, faith, love, hope, all the things. I mean, to kind of simplify it, faith, hope, and love. Are they the foundational things, aren't they? And love is the greatest of these. So it's loving one another, and it's loving God, and it's having faith in God and trusting God and seeing an invisible, like Abraham did in the Old Testament. It says he left his land where he was, dwelt in tents, and he was looking for the promise to be fulfilled. It says he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, he was looking for what we are in, actually. He was looking for a New Jerusalem structure of a city. You know, God hasn't called us to have just individual lives as Christians. He's calling us to build a city. Can you see that spiritually? You don't have to see it. Well, we're in a city, but we're not looking. We're looking at an unseen city that actually is more real than what we see. Because what we see, the buildings in Crawley, London and places, they won't be here when what's written in Revelation comes to pass and Jesus comes again. Those buildings will be gone, but there will be an everlasting kingdom. And there'll be the New Jerusalem that we read about is more real as a place. And for us, it seems... Some people think it's pie in the sky, but you can find out. You come into the reality of it by God giving you revelation in the Word concerning that your destiny and where you're going. But we don't have to wait for that to happen in order to be able to get hold of the truth, to live the truth that will start to demonstrate that the principles of that kingdom here on earth now, right here. So. It says Abraham, the Hebrews 11, verse 11. Abraham did it. He said Abraham lived the way he did by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations. And that's what we've got to do as well. We have a new Jerusalem. And you know, the signs are that there's an imminent return of Jesus. It's not far off. We might think it seems to be a long way off, but it's not actually. All the signs are that it's imminent and soon. And in the meantime, we need to be building here, where he's put us, sunk in the foundations. We are the stones. We are the stones. 1 Kings, again, I'll just read this to you. You are a stone, an essential stone in the building here, in this place, what God is building. 1 Kings 7, verses 9 to 11. The Message Bible again. No expense was spared. Everything here, from inside and out, from foundation to roof, was constructed using high-quality stone. Now, did you know that you were high-quality stone, spiritually speaking? Right? You're born of the Spirit. That you have a quality about you. You are perfect in God's sight as a created person. As his creation. It's a new creation. We've been hearing and singing about a new creation. You are a new creation, high quality stone, accurately cut and shaped and polished. And that's what God is doing. He's doing some of that building. I was thinking, I had a song came to me the other day, but I hadn't sung for years, which is Without the Sound of a Hammer, and it's based on the building of Solomon's temple. Without the sound of a hammer, God is building today. A house to dwell in, forever to stay. No sound, no... Does anyone know this one? There's no sound of a hammer. Right? It's out of sight. What God is doing is out of sight. But each stone is finely honed and shaped for God to come and dwell among us as a people. He's doing it. Right, we are the stones, different sizes, it's ranging in size. The finest stone used above the foundation, shaped to size. And it talks about that. And I believe that that's a picture of us as the church, that we are fine. Every one of us, every one of us, we have different shapes, sizes. We're all needed. Everyone is essential in this building. Everyone. Right, I'm just going to go now to two Peter. I could go to one Peter, but I'm saving time. So I'm axing one Peter and accelerating through to two Peter. Only my two Peter notes seem to have done a little walk. Oh, there it is. Just bear with me a minute. I seem to have lost it. Okay. That's very disappointing. I was going to read from the Truth Bible. Has anyone read any of the Truth? Do you know what I'm talking about? Collins knew. I don't think we have copies today. But the Truth, the new New Testament translation that Colin Urquhart's come out with, and some of you I know have got copies, and I was going to read something from there, but my plans seem to have gone astray because I can't see the sheet I had it copied onto. So I'm going to have to go to my Bible. I don't know how I managed to do that. Right, 2 Peter. And this wasn't the version I was going to use, so 2 Peter. Verse 5, chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I was going to read from the Message Bible here, but I seem to have mislaid my sheet with that on. So, because the Message Bible used the term build here. And verse 5 says, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Now, this is the building. This is part of the building that God is calling us to. He's asking us to become proactive in our walk, proactive in what we do, to build for God, to build into the foundations with faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All those things listed in verses 5, 6, and 7. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was going to read from Colin's Bible for verse 10, but I've got it here in the New King James. It says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent." You see, there's diligence. We've been hearing about diligence, hard work. When you think about a building, someone building, doing building work, it's a hard labor, isn't it? You roll up your sleeves. And sometimes, you know, we want to kind of, I'm not a builder. I'm not a practical sort of person, but I can appreciate what we're talking about here. Somebody who's prepared to build, they're able to sink their whole life and their energy and their skills into putting a building up. All right? And there's hard digging to be done. You know, God has done it all. He's opened it for us. We can come in, but we have to. God is calling us to be yoked with Him in the task, the building task. So it says His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Yes, but we need to be yoked with Him in the call that He's got on our lives. And verse 10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." It's like your call and election in the body. What you've been called to do, there's that diligence of building into the foundation. And I think in Colin's version it said, if you do that, you will never fail, it says. I like the way he said, you will never fail. And, you know, failure is we're all plagued and dogged by failure, aren't we? It's like it's sort of at our right hand in life a lot of the time, and things, you know, we're rejected by this person, by that person, and we feel we come short and we fall short of the mark that God wants us to hit. But God is saying to us, you won't miss the mark. God is saying, you will not fail. If you come into that walk of obedience and start to build, and start to and say, so what does that building mean? That means seeking Him. That means prayer. I could give you various scriptures. For example, in Jude, it talks about building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. And that's where, you know, read, study the word for yourself. What are you saying to me in this word? What are you saying to me, Lord? Get hold of it. Don't just read the word and then it's gone. But what are you saying to me here? So building yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's a releasing, because the word releases faith. So by faith comes by hearing. So read the word, speak it out of your mouth, believe it. It releases faith in you. Building up your most holy faith, praying, it then says, in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So you've got to start praying. Now, that seems quite tough sometimes because I don't feel like praying. I feel I'm being a hypocrite if I pray. But, you know, God is saying, as we come into a way of life where we are allowing the Holy Spirit to determine the parameters and what we do, where we go, how we respond, allowing the Holy Spirit to become more real, bring the reality of God's kingdom into our lives, it will become possible. And we will start to. Sometimes you have to just by faith. Sometimes you go to a prayer meeting and this thing's dead. We can't touch God. He seems so far away. But we say, I'm by faith. The word of God says, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. He's here. So He's here. So, right, well, now I'm going to invest my faith in that, not the fact that I don't feel He's there. Oh, I can't feel Him. Well, that's not what it's about. It's not about feelings. It's the truth that sets you free. That sets me free. So it says, be even more diligent. Can I just lay that on you? Even more. Now, I believe that a lot of people have been diligent. But He's saying even more diligence. Yeah? So we can step it up. We say, well, how can I? Well, by getting some high octane fuel in. So step up the performance of your car. Isn't that right? I think the high octane fuel, you can have a bit more oomph to your car and see. And to your spiritual life, to your walk with God. Get some high octane fuel on board from God. And make your call and election sure. You might have heard a word from God about your life sometime. And you think it seems as far off as Australia to you now. It seems impossible. It seems impossible. But we've been hearing, we've been singing. He's the God of the impossible. He's the one who does impossible things. And if that was word from Him, you've got to build it. You build it because He's building it. He's given it as a tool in your hand. The other day when Mike Vickers was here, we were praying. He encouraged us to pray and stir up what He'd said to us and promised to us were prophecies over our lives. God's given you a word. Now, you may not have used it as a weapon, but we were encouraged I think it was 1 Timothy, to use the word that I've received, the word that you've received, as a weapon of warfare in prayer. A weapon of warfare, do you put the enemy to flight? Because you've heard from God at some time. That may not be real to you right now, but it's part of your heritage. It's part of what God has said to your life. So if you've got a prophecy or something written down, and it seems like a fairy tale to you now. Did God say it to you? Because if God said it to you, it's still true. That's why you have to come back. And you have to come and make your call and election sure. What has He said to you? He wants you to do. Well, I tell you what, He puts in front of you something to do right here and now. This church. What can I do to sink myself into the foundations in my life? Digging my foundations in God, seeking God for myself, on my knees, in my room, alone. God, I want to do business with You. I want You to set my life in order. If I've been building on the sand, I want to come off the sand and I want to start building on the rock. If I've been using wood, hay and stubble, and I've been using wood, hay and stubble on the rock, that's not going to work either. I want to have something precious. You know, God's put things. He puts things into your hand. It's like the parable of the talents. He gives you a little something to do what with? To use for His glory. He might just put a few fish and a bit of bread in your hand, and there's a multitude there. He wants you to do what He's given you to use. right? Just invest your faith in the fact that he is the Lord of glory and that he is, you are his instrument. He will work through you. You know, work through a donkey, it says in the Old Testament, right? Because nobody else was available. He used a donkey to speak. Okay, so he will use you too. Okay? And we don't believe we've got lots of donkeys because donkeys are very stubborn creatures. And people can be stubborn. And we're not stubborn, are we? We're not stubborn. And the enemy might say, well, you're not, you're no good. This is for everybody else, what's being said this morning. But God is saying, hey, you're the man. You've been handpicked. You know, there's nobody here by accident. You might think, well, I came to the church here. I came to this building and I've got nothing else to do, so I came along. No, God brought you here. That's the truth of it. God, you're here because God has worked in your life. And he wants to put you into the foundations of what he's doing, whether it be here or in another place. He's putting you into the foundations of his work. And then you may find one day that your name is on a foundation stone somewhere that you were caught by totally by surprise. You have a new name. You may find there are some surprises coming, which won't be quite such a surprise because you've already had dealings with God and you already know because God has revealed some stuff to you, where you're going and what you're going to do. And there are some people here who've got works to do, callings to fulfill, places to go to, dreams to realize. But you have to begin right here, all right? And that's where the digging, that's with the diligence and more, being even more diligent, right here. If there's a prayer meeting, I can even get it down to it. If there's a prayer meeting, you can get to it. If there's a church prayer meeting, because I want to be built with you. I can pray on my own at home, and that can be great. But I want to pray with the body. I want to be built with the body to be so that we can be a building for God's glory to come and manifest. And we want to see him come like he came when Jesus came to the temple. We want to have God's dealings. I'm just going to have a few minutes now just praying. Let's just pray. Let's stand up. We can remain seated if you want to, but I encourage you to stand. And let's just, Lord, I want to be built. You can say after me if you want to, if you agree with it. I want to be built, Lord, into the foundations. I want to be built into the foundations, Lord. I don't want to be someone who's drifting here and drifting there. I want to be built into the foundations of the work that you are doing here. I want to see the city that you're building here. I want to have that vision of your call. Of your call on my life. Fulfilled. Lord, I want your call on my life. Say it. I want your call on my life fulfilled in every detail. I don't want to miss any of it. I want to be part of a building. I want to be part of a building built to last. That we want as a church to be built to last, that we will stay at it through thick and thin. Lord, we want to position ourselves on the rock. We position ourselves. Lord, I position myself on the rock. I position myself, Lord, for permanence. Come on, let's say, I position myself for permanence. Lord, you stuck with me all these years, even when I was running away. You stuck with me, Lord. And now, Lord, I want to stick with you for the rest of my life. I want to stick with you and see a fulfillment of all your promises. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'm going to stick with you, Lord. Amen. Say it. I'm going to stick with you. And see a fulfillment of all your promises. Over me. Over my family. Over my husband or wife. Over this church. We want to see this church built. Father, we commit ourselves to be part of the team that builds this church. Lord, we are co-builders with you, with the Holy Spirit. We want to say, Lord, we want to say, Father, that we want to be building out there in Queen Square. If we can't get there for some reason, yeah, but we want to be there. We want to be there as part of that team, praying for that work. Lord, show us how to pray. Put tools in our hands. You are doing that, Lord. Open our understanding so that we know where we fit in the wall, how we fit together with others here. Out of sight. A lot of that dealing where we're not the right shape. You deal with that out of sight. The chipping off. Nobody about us necessarily has to know about all that, Lord. But you're dealing with our hearts. Lord, we want to have our hearts dealt with this morning. We want that plumb line of your word. That plumb line that a builder would put alongside something that's been built. And say, Lord, if it reveals something's out of line, Lord, come in and set it in order. Let's get it straight. Let's get the building up straight as it should be, Lord. We want to be set right, Lord. We're calling on you, Lord. And we want to do business here this morning that counts. Not something, well, we had a nice meeting. Wasn't that nice? A bit of entertainment. We got through, we heard the word, and that was interesting. Nice scriptures. No, these aren't nice scriptures. This is God's word. And we want to be changed by that word. We want to engage with what you're saying, Lord. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss the mark. We know that you're looking for people who will sink themselves in a foundation, the foundations of the church. That we, and God is looking for those who will raise up as pillars. Because when you have pillars, then you can have a roof. You have a covering. We need those who are willing to be pillars. But then you're out of sight. If you're in the foundations, you know, be in the foundations, you're in prayer. You're in that secret place. God sees it. Others may not see it. It's not necessarily a place where anybody will get any credit from man. But God wants you to be willing to be sunk into the foundations of the work. That's what I want, Lord. I want to be sunk into the foundations of this work, Lord. Whether or not I'm heard or have to speak or not, I speak if you say. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who speaks. We just want you to speak. Lord, we want to be a team together. We want to be an effective team when we're out in Queen Square, when we're reaching out to the lost. Father, we don't want to have any backbiting. We don't want to have any issues between ourselves, Lord. We want to realize that you're at work among us. Lord, we need to have that unity that will come from being built on the rock, built together, fitted together, Lord. As your Holy Spirit connects us, as your Holy Spirit unites us, we want to have that unity where there will be a manifestation of your glory and power as there was on the day of Pentecost, Father, where we are met in agreement of one accord. We want to have that kind of one accord mentality where the glory of God will come and sweep through this place, will sweep through our lives, and will touch thousands, Lord. We do, Lord. You know, there's been words about this being Crawley being a church of thousands. Lord, in some it seems like a fairy tale a little bit sometimes, but because it seems to be so slow. But you know, if God has said that, then it will be so. But we need to make sure that it's us that's involved in that, not some other church. Because God could sweep us aside and he could put another one in. He could say, right, there's my church. Because I'm going to demonstrate my kingdom with a clarity and power and authority that the world needs to see. Because the anointing and the outpouring in the latter day will surpass the former. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it, Lord. We don't want to miss what you're doing. Lord, this is too important. This is too important, this building work. Father, we say, Lord, we've been hearing over the last few weeks, Lord, about being built up, about God being the one who's building us, and that we are, Lord, co-builders. You're telling us we're co-builders, and that we're sinking. We're sinking our lives. We're sinking ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. What can I do? Can I make the coffee? Can I be a steward? What can I do to help? Can I help get people to church? What can I do to be part of the team that will make this thing work? When revival comes, you know, when revival comes and it's coming, everybody will have to be activated in practical ways where we'll reach out to the community. And we may be having meetings for people to be lining up, to be touched by God, to be healed. And we've all got to be available. That means some stuff, some agendas that we've got of our own will be swept aside. Lord, sweep it aside today. Sweep it aside this morning. We want some stuff swept away that is irrelevant to our future, irrelevant to the history you set before us of what will be, what you have decreed over our lives shall be in the future. Lord, we don't want to miss that which you have already decreed in heaven shall be for our church and for my life and for our lives together. Father, we thank you. All I want you to do is come forward. If you want to say to God, you come forward, just come forward and to say, well, Lord, I want to be built into the foundations. I don't want to make you come forward, but just, if I want to be built in the foundations here, in your church, and if you're in another church, you can still want to be built into the foundation. So if you just come forward and just stand, just to show God, just lift up your hand and stand before him. I want to be built in the foundations. I want to lay down my life for others. That's what it is saying. That's a high call. Jesus did it. He laid down his life. That's what he's calling us to do, to lay down our lives for one another, for the body, for the work of the kingdom. We want to be sunk in the foundations, Lord. Yes. Lord, we want to be sunk in the foundations. Show me what that means. Show me what that means. Lord. Show me how to seek your face. Yes, show me, Lord, how to encounter you in a level and a depth I have not done. Yes. I'm tired of being superficial in my life. I'm tired of superficiality. I want to meet with you. I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles as the everyday. That's what you're calling, Lord. Not amazing out of the ordinary things. You are an extraordinary God. You want to do extraordinary things among us. And Father, we just receive from you, Lord. We just receive, Lord. We just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that conviction in our hearts, Lord, that you, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You are the builder of this church. You are building your church. And Father, we want to be yoked, Lord. We want to be yoked with your will for our lives, whatever that is, in prayer, evangelism, Lord, serving, helps, whatever it is you're calling us to do. We want to do it wholeheartedly, holding nothing back, glorifying you. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way in me. Have your way in us. Do whatever you desire. Make us whatever you desire us to be. Jesus. 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 How firm a foundation, how great to behold, as each stone that's placed therein shines forth as gold. Without the sound of a hammer, God is building today a house to dwell in, forever to stay. How firm a foundation, how great to behold, as each stone that's placed therein shines forth as gold. Lord, we thank you. Lord, all we see here, Lord, is gold. All we see is gold, Lord, and silver and precious stones. That's what we want to be. We want to be gold and silver and precious stones in your temple. We want to be people, Father, who are so much part of the fabric of this temple, one another. Lord, we want to be so sold out for you because we want people to come into the midst here. We want people to come and into the church, Lord, connecting with the church, whether it be here or in the marketplace. And we want your power and glory to be revealed. We want you to touch people's lives. We want, Lord, people to turn to you. We want to see a move of your spirit in our community. We want to see a move of your spirit in Queen Square. And we want to be part of that, Lord. We want to say, Lord, here am I, wholly available unto you. Wholly available, Lord. Not partly available. Not just available on Tuesday afternoons or evenings or Sunday mornings. We want to be wholly available all the time. Everything we have, everything we are, and everything we shall be forever and ever. Because we know our time on earth is limited. Only a short time we're here on earth. And our life passes like a plant, Lord. Like the flower of a field, it's gone tomorrow. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that as you do things in our lives, as there is establishing of your kingdom, that we will abide forever. We will abide forever in your presence. And we don't have to wait for that time to find out if it's true, because we can engage with the truth of it now and live it now. And demonstrate it now, here, the glory of God, the grace and mercy of God in the land of the living. Your truth lived out in the land of the living with the people you put us with. Thank you, Lord. We just say, Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Do you greet someone else?